You're listening to The Digital Pulse, powered by MODIA, where we discuss everything you need to know on digital trends and strategy in healthcare. Now let's dive headfirst into this episode. Here's your host, Brian Palmer.
Let's just dive right in. Janine, thank you so much for being here. Really, really appreciate it. Can you just start by telling us a little bit more about your role and your background and some of the projects that you oversee at Kaiser Permanente?
Sure. So I serve in the Kaiser Permanente organization as the Vice President of Consumer Experience. And so, you know, in my role, I partner very closely with our medical group leaders to sort of lead what I call the connecting to care experience for Kaiser Permanente. So as part of this work, you know, I lead our contact centers or our call centers for appointing and advice. I also lead our work in virtual care along with our digital programs. And it's a great role and something I'm very excited about with my background. From an educational standpoint, I have a degree in biomedical engineering, and so really love, you know, how we can solve problems in healthcare through technology. And then, you know, I've now been at Kaiser Permanente just about 20 years and have done a little bit of everything in the organization, starting with, you know, consulting in our national facility services team, a little bit of supply chain work. I helped run, you know, our surgical clinics and care delivery before coming over to the consumer experience team and really, you know, leading our contact center work. And so I found that, you know, the role that I'm in now is sort of a culmination of, you know, my educational experience as well as the previous roles, you know, I've served in Kaiser Permanente to really be able to tackle, you know, challenges like access and affordability in healthcare.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's
yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And when you, so you mentioned, I mean, almost 20 years now. So that's a long time. Especially, you know, digitally speaking too, how have you seen Kaiser as an organization shift from what it was 20 years ago to now being so much more, you know, focused on the digital patient experiences, those digital tools? And what do you feel is driving that organizationally?
Yeah, so what's been really awesome is, you know, I've had the opportunity to witness the shift first to being, you know, much more patient-centric, you know, as a healthcare organization, which, you know, if you think about 20 years ago, you know, healthcare was much more physician-centric. And so, you know, we made that shift from physician-centricity to patient-centricity. And then, you know, in recent years, really to a digital-first mindset. And, you know, I think the biggest driver of that, you know, I'll call it the Amazon effect. It's these external market factors. Yeah. Our Kaiser Permanente members and patients, you know, are consumers, and their experiences as consumers in other industries have really impacted what their expectations are in terms of, you know, how they get their healthcare, how they manage their healthcare. And so, you know, we have had to really raise the bar on experience in order to be able to meet those expectations. And so, you know, I like to say convenience is king. Our members, our patients have more choices than ever. And, you know, for us, it really used to be that having everything under one roof. So, you know, coming to Kaiser Permanente, your doctor, the lab, radiology, pharmacy, was all physically in one building under one roof. And that was, you know, our competitive advantage and the convenience factor that we were able to drive. But now it's really more about, you know, how do you get your needs met in as few touches as possible? So it's all about that self-service. It's about on-demand capabilities. And so, you know, over the past, gosh, at least 10, if not 15 years, you know, we've really been focused on building a suite of virtual care channels so that our patients can get care, you know, outside of that traditional brick and mortar, you know, scheduled or walk-in appointment options. And so, you know, for a list of chief complaints, Our patients can get their concerns resolved via, you know, a variety of virtual care channels of their choice. So, you know, we have online chat with a clinician. We have online questionnaires that can be filled out that get reviewed on the back end by a physician. We offer on-demand video or telephone visits with doctors. And so, you know, patients have choice. And then, you know, beyond that choice, if they don't know what the best care channel is to meet their needs, we supplement that with tools that really help our patients guide them to the best option to meet their needs. So really focused on, you know, driving personalized care, driving ease of access, and convenience and affordability at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think you touched on a lot of things, but I want to kind of just circle back around consumer engagement and what that means to you, because I think it can mean a lot to different people and a lot to different organizations, right? And so if you had to kind of put a definition on how you and Kaiser view consumer engagement, what does that mean?
Yeah, so, you know, first I'll just say it's always controversial when we talk about patients and healthcare as being consumers. As I shared earlier, our patients, our members, their expectations really come from those experiences as consumers in other industries. And, you know, also, as I shared in healthcare, I mean, they have more choice than ever in where they get their care and coverage. And so, you know, we absolutely have to be thinking about our members, our patients as consumers. And even more broadly than that, you know, because we really offer care and coverage integrated together, we also have to look at our brokers and our employer groups as consumers as well, you know, and how do we engage them in working with us? So we know through lots and lots of data, our number one driver of satisfaction is the relationship that a patient has with their own personal physician. And we also have data that tells us when our members engage with us in that first year or their second year, they're more likely to stay with us for many, many, you know, more years to come. And so member retention for us is really linked to that engagement in years one and years two. So we've built programs, including digital programs, that really drive that engagement at what I would say more of a consumer level. So, you know, how do we make it easy, personalized, connected for our patients, our members, our employer groups, or brokers to engage with us. So programs around, you know, new member welcome, which includes, you know, a series of touch points over that first year via, you know, a variety of different communication channels. We've got engagement programs for our Medicare members or caregivers. And, you know, just recently really starting to dig into, you know, for those patients who really don't utilize the services that they buy or who are low utilizers, you know, what programs can we put into place to engage them and get them to really, you know, want to take part in owning their healthcare and driving their own outcomes, because then we know, you know, they'll stay customers for many years to come.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I like what you said kind of at the beginning, how it's controversial on calling them consumers, because we'll see customers, consumers, patients. But I agree with you. And you know, but before we pressed record on this, you and I were talking about being parents, and I consider myself a consumer as well, because I want that retail-like experience. I want to know, okay, what tools are available to me from this organization? And I'm going to approach that like the Amazon. How quickly can I go on, find what I need, get care, get access to that care? So I would agree with that. I think a lot of times I'll see that used interchangeably with consumer and customer and patient. So yeah, I like that outlook for sure. So thank you for that.
I would actually like to share, you know, one day, this was, gosh, probably towards the start of the pandemic, I was sitting around with an emergency medicine physician. And, you know, we were just kind of talking about, you know, that exact thing, right? Our patients, our members, our consumers. And, you know, what's like one thing that as parents would make our lives easier in terms of managing healthcare for ourselves and for our family? And I shared that my mom is a nurse. She's been an ER nurse, you know, her whole life. And so anytime, you know, I don't feel well or my kids don't feel well, I just pull out my phone and I text mom, the nurse. And, you know, she'll tell me, you know, if it's something that I need to be worried about or, you know, what's a medication, you know, I can take to feel better. And we said, gosh, wouldn't it be amazing if all 12 million of our Kaiser Permanente patients, you know, had the ability to just pull out their phone and like text or call or join a video visit, you know, with a clinician and get their concerns, you know, eased in the moment. And that was really the start or the birth of our Get Care Now program that's now been in place for, you know, quite a few years. And it's an on-demand service where, you know, from our app or from our KP.org website, our 12 million members can go online and get in a queue to see a physician via video or phone visit. And, you know, within on average 30 minutes, get their needs met and their concerns addressed. And, you know, it's a very successful program for us. It's got a very, very high net promoter score from our patients. Our physicians love it as well. And it really came from thinking about our patients and our members as consumers.
That is so cool. And did you and your team head up the Get Care Now initiative?
We did. So we launched it actually in our Mid-Atlantic States market first. We initially called it something else. And once we saw, you know, how successful it was and could be, we scaled it enterprise-wide and then coined the name Get Care Now. So we led it from an operations standpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's a good kind of segue into my next question too, with whatever you can share just on when you all wanted to do this. So Get Care Now, we rewind a few years ago to when that was conceptualized. What does it take to lead that from here's the idea, here's what we want to do, to now we're going to launch this pilot? And how long did it take? What went into it? If you could share a little bit about that, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, gosh. So excellent question. I think the starting point is always, you know, getting grounded in what's the outcome that we're trying to achieve. I think particularly with technology and with digital, there are so many new like shiny bells and whistles. And it's easy to just start with like, what's the cool technology? But, you know, really starting with, okay, what's the problem we're trying to solve? What are those outcomes that we want to see? Get, you know, some data and, you know, understand the voice of the customer. And really then when you form the project team, getting aligned in what's the vision and what are the project goals. And then just like rapid iteration. So, you know, with Get Care Now, we were all very much aligned in what we wanted to achieve and what the, you know, interim and long-term goals of the program would be. And then we started with, you know, a minimum viable product, an MVP. We wanted to get something live and out there so that we could continue to collect voice of the customer data. And also, you know, voice of the healthcare team data. How's this working for our physicians? How's it working for our support staff? And then, you know, just rapidly iterate. So we would come up, you know, with a short list of enhancements and execute, then, you know, a new list of enhancements, execute. And, you know, even now we've been live for several years. We're continuing, you know, to think through how do we make it better? But knowing that, you know, at go live, speed to market was really important for us. And so we knew it wouldn't be perfect at go live. And so by, you know, going live with an MVP and then just making it better over time gave us sort of the best of both worlds.
Well, and roughly how long did it take to go through all that?
So from conception to our first go live was about 6 months, which for an organization the size of ours is pretty miraculous.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. And we constantly go back to it. You know, we've got some other projects that are kicking off now and we're like, well, what made Get Care Now so successful? Like, you know, we've all bought into the same vision. Like, let's make sure we can create that with this new project. And you know, we've been iterating now, you know, for 2 or 3 years, just continuing to make the product better.
Yeah. And it sounds, I love hearing that too. You know, whenever we build websites or mobile apps, you know, we don't do a project approach. We do a product approach because it's never done. So it's always, you know, you're iterating on it, you're improving it. And I think that's where a lot of organizations kind of fall short is, here's what we did. You know, we built this website years ago and now we're going to just let it be, right? Well, those consumer needs and expectations are constantly evolving. And it sounds like you all are know exactly what you're doing. 6 months is unbelievable. I mean, I don't even know how you got funding and did it all in six. I mean, that's so awesome. Yeah, I love hearing that. And I wish every project in healthcare could go down that, you know, that same time period. Because I mean, it takes years. Sometimes I work with clients that just the capital funding process alone takes more than it took you all to conceptualize and launch something. So that's so cool. Yeah, I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. All right. So I also like to ask essentially kind of this one question. And as we start to wrap up here, if you ruled all of healthcare, okay, so there was nothing in your way, there was no roadblocks, and you could do one thing that would really, you know, continue to enhance that digital patient experience, what would that be and why?
So, you know, I always wish that I had a magic wand and I could just, you know, clone more physicians and clinicians so that we could find like that perfect balance between access supply and access demand. But, you know, even in a perfect world, that doesn't happen. And so when I think about like what realistically could we do to drive exceptional patient experiences and access, I think it comes down to driving, you know, creating experiences that are easy, that are personalized, that are connected, and that are trusted. And, you know, it sounds very simple, but when, you know, you do have to help match that access supply with the access demand, it gets really tricky. But I think if we can be grounded in ease, personalization, connectedness, and ultimately trust, you know, I think we'll be able to drive not only improved access, but improved affordability to, you know, patients across the country.
I love that. I love that. And one thing too, you know, before we kind of wrap up again, I'm just going to throw something. You mentioned personalization. Mm-hmm. And that continues to come up and it's changed with new regulations and, you know, compliance. What kind of roadblocks have you all faced and are you able to still personalize pretty well? I'd love if you could talk more about that.
So I think there are a few things. You know, first, we know, right, I shared some of the data that we had previously where, you know, patients are more satisfied when they have built a great relationship with their own personal physician. And so how do we design workflows that allow our patients to get directly connected with their own PCP? And so digital appointing workflows, message management workflows, you know, really important to try to maintain that patient-physician relationship. Mm-hmm. Although knowing that we're not going to be able to get patients connected with their own PCP 100% of the time, how can we then get patients connected to, you know, a team of physicians, nurses, et cetera, who still know you as a patient, who have access to your medical record, who know, you know, your preferences in terms of how you want to receive your care. And so taking advantage of, you know, all of the information that we know about our patients, you know, via your integrated electronic medical record, mm-hmm. and ensuring that our workflows leverage that data in a way that drives that personalization of care. One of the projects that we're working on right now is to really modernize our telephony platform and to not only look at it as the telephony platform, you know, in a silo, but to make sure that those telephony workflows are well integrated with our digital workflows. So for example, if you call us in the call center today, I can't see, I don't have the visibility that you maybe just tried to schedule an appointment online and for whatever reason that task failed. What an improvement it would be if when you call me in the call center, I can immediately see Brian tried to make an appointment online and wasn't able to. So let me upfront provide some service recovery and see what I could do to help you with that, which allows me to really take, you know, full advantage of your journey through our system. And so, you know, that's where I think we know what those experiences are that we want our members and our patients to have. How do we leverage the technology that's available to us to build the workflows that support those experiences?
That's awesome. I wish everyone would listen to this and start to do those same things. That's wonderful information. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's all the questions I have for you today. Definitely want to thank you for taking the time and hanging out today. Really, really enjoyed the conversation and cannot wait to learn more about what you all are doing and follow the work that you're leading at Kaiser Permanente. So again, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You've just listened to another episode of The Digital Pulse, powered by MODIA. Make sure to subscribe so you'll always stay in the know. And be sure to visit MODIA.com. That's MODEA.com for more great content and resources in healthcare. We appreciate you sharing your time with us today. And we look forward to you joining us in the next episode.